This weekend, Gustavo Gimeno, the music director with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra, conducts an excellent program featuring composer Sammy Musa's Second Symphony, a premiere event. Next week, Peter Ungen, TSO conductor emeritus, conducts Brahms, but also Clara Schumann and Sammy Musa's Nocturne. Four concerts to choose from next week in early June with Peter Ungen, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. at Roy Thompson Hall, on Sunday, 3 p.m. at the George Weston Recital Hall in the Meridian Arts Center. TSO.ca for tickets. And Sammy Musa is with us this afternoon. The multiple prize-winning Canadian conductor and composer has witnessed his works being performed internationally all over the world. He grew up in Montreal, went to the university there, and then the University of Music and Performing Arts Munich. He's lived in Paris and Rome during his career. Over the last decade, he's worked with ensembles such as the MDR Leipzig Radio Symphony Orchestra, the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra, MSO, and Dallas Symphony Orchestra, as well as in Hamilton with the Philharmonic there. His works include music for large ensemble, but also opera. It's my pleasure to have Sammy Musa here at the Oasis for the very first time. Welcome.
Thank you.
Really an incredible career. We talk about you often here on the show, and this last 20 years specifically has been a thrill to watch and listen to. There was a fair amount of light put on your works early on, really while you were still a teenager in the early 2000s. How do you feel about that looking at it now, 20 years out, and you're obviously in a different place professionally and where you are creatively?
Well, I had the very good fortune of meeting incredible people very early on that detected in my work, although it was only the beginning, detected something. Mm-hmm. And thanks to them, I'm able today to live the life I dreamed of, which is a life in music.
You've talked about the discipline it takes to be a composer and the separate muscles used to be a conductor. That was interesting to me as I was reading back in some articles. Where's your comfort level with the baton these days as compared to, you know, being in the writing room?
Well, it's a very different activity, and I think it requires different kind of skills. For me, the conductor is more like a vampire that sucks out the energy out of the performing and, of course, the people you play with. So in a way, it gives a lot of energy and life energy, actually. And the composer is very much the opposite. You are, you know, bleeding out everything you have to be able to write something, and you lose a lot by writing. And I think by doing both composing and conductor, there is a kind of a internal balance that is good for me.
I don't know that I ever imagined the idea of sucking out the blood, sucking out the energy of that orchestra. I always thought perhaps you're helping to heighten that orchestra or direct that orchestra. So that's a fascinating analogy to me, because I don't think I've ever quite thought of it that way.
Well, I mean, this is, of course, not on a musical level. This is on a basic instinct level, animalistic level, where, of course, as a leader, and you guide, you motivate, you shape, but also they give so much because they are actually the players producing the sounds, giving their own power for the music. And they do this in front of you. And you have, I don't know, 100 people in front of you giving a lot of body energy. And this is an incredible source of power. But it gives, as a conductor, I receive this energy as food. So
I really like it. And That's something I might use from here on out. So I appreciate you sharing that analogy with us. If you're just joining us, celebrated composer and conductor Sammy Musa is with us. His Nocturne will be performed next week with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra when Peter Ungen returns to conduct the ensemble. Tell us about this piece. The hardcore Coles Notes version calls it atmospheric. I mean, how do you look at this piece of music?
I can tell you a little bit about the project I had for the piece. Very often, orchestras like to commission more or less 10-minute long pieces. That's a very big challenge, because most composers, I think, would opt for kind of a more fanfare-like or more agitated music. But that's not what I felt I should be doing in that, for that commission. And I want to do something more that is not focused on brilliance, although the piece has its brilliant moment, but I wanted to write something more slow-paced and more interior in terms of expression. And that was in 2014-15. And a few years later, I wrote my first symphony. and became clear that that nocturne would be part of the symphony. So it's, you know, a standalone piece, a nocturne for orchestra, but it's also the third movement of my first symphony. And if you play it by itself as a, just a piece for orchestra, it has its own sound world and very coherent by itself, of course, because it was conceived that way. But when it's played as a third movement of the symphony, it takes another dimension.
We're excited to hear it as part of this program, and Peter Ungian being in town to perform it with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra is very exciting. I'll touch on the idea of composing a symphony, which, as you say, this started out as a standalone. It ended up as part of a symphony. We talk about this all the time on the program, how composers grow and sometimes even change their symphonies. Sometimes symphonies disappear and they come back. There's often a mixed relationship with what you've produced. What was your relationship with that first symphony? And was it a sense of accomplishment, or did you feel a yearning once you put the pen down on the piece of paper and were finished?
Well, of course, the genre of the symphony is a very grand one, and it takes a great deal of ambition to tackle that. It's a little bit like writing a novel and not just a short story. It's a completely different mission. I wanted to be a symphonist since I was very young. That's something I always wanted to do. So I did write the first symphony. It was difficult. It's a quite long piece, 40 minutes long.
Sure.
But at the end, I thought, oh, it wasn't, I mean, it was long, but it wasn't that difficult. And very recently, I've completed my second symphony.
And we should point out as well, this weekend, we will hear the premiere of your second symphony with Gustavo Gimeno at the podium with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra.
And it was much more difficult to compose. I thought it would get easier, but it isn't getting easier.
Is it because you've gone to that well and suddenly you need to top yourself, you need to do something different? I mean, what is the pressure you put on yourself that makes it more difficult?
It's very hard to tell. If I knew, I would find a solution. I think everything was more difficult. Form, management of material, very technical things. It was just more difficult. The pressure was higher, with the pressure I put on myself.
It's exciting, though. I mean, it must be thrilling through that pain and that pressure to know that it will be performed by the TSO, and hopefully you're going to be there in attendance, and you'll be able to see this come to life.
Yes, and you mentioned something about versions of pieces and changing, etc. And I'm studying Anton Bruckner's first symphony. I will conduct it next season in Switzerland, and I chose a version because there are at least three versions of that symphony. And the version I chose is the last one he completed in 1891. And it's very similar to the first, but it's also very different because he's a different person, as you alluded to. But I think because people change, it's a good thing for music, because if there's a revision, you have a different facet of the same idea. And I think that's a very beautiful thing.
I love talking to you about this. We could go on and on. But you did mention Switzerland. You mentioned conducting, and you've lived around the world, or at least in a lot of parts of the Western world. For young musicians listening today, you start your career in Montreal, but you've spent a lot of time in Germany and Italy and France. What did those countries, those cities, and the opportunities there afford you as an artist over the last decade? What about that travel and being in some of those origin locations for this music do for you creatively?
As we all know, the origins of Western classical music is in Europe. And so being at the origin of it has an incredible advantage, where orchestras and art institutions, in a way, do not constantly have to justify their existence. It's just normal thing. It's just part of
the culture. Sure.
And the culture, and it's a basic thing. And so it makes everything a bit more natural. But I wouldn't say it's easier. I just think the fact that it's more natural, it gives a sense of larger sense of freedom to the artist, and certainly myself included. So any young musician, I always encourage them to leave. It's a very dramatic thing to do, but you can always come back. But I think it's better for their own development.
I love it. And we've just enjoyed so much, as we pointed out earlier, watching your career blossom, listening to the pieces as they arrive. Certainly the second symphony will be fascinating. And this will be fascinating next week, the Nocturne performed by the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. and the music of Sammy Musa. Sammy, wonderful to have you here. Thank you for taking some time with us this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Mark. Looking forward to talk to you again soon. Thank you.
A reminder, Toronto Symphony Orchestra music director Gustavo Gimeno conducts Beethoven's Emperor and the premiere of Sammy Musa's Symphony No. 2. That's happening this weekend. And then Peter Ungian, TSO conductor emeritus, conducts Brahms' Clara Schumann and Sammy Musa's Nocturne. Four concerts to choose from next week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. in Roy Thompson Hall, on Sunday, 3 p.m. at the George Weston Recital Hall in the Meridian Arts Center. TSO.ca for tickets. This is the music of Sammy Musa.